Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome into the Corlin Economics Report. Got a couple of topics that are very big in the news today that we're going to devote the first half of our discussion to. The first one is the Supreme Court obviously stated that total disregard for the student loans and no necessary payback was not going to work. They ruled that as being unconstitutional, and they did the same for entrance requirements that considered race or nationality. Entrance requirements to universities that did not consider the rules as they have been laid down for the past, God, I don't know, 50, 60 years. What do you think about that, Jim? I think it's a little bit crazy.
Well, I think you've seen the real divide in the society, and of course you're seeing the absolute left attack on the Supreme Court,
right,
and their validity, because these decisions, there was three critical decisions that have came out since yesterday, Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
The first one was that the student loan debt issue that you talked about, I guess that wasn't the first decision that was announced on Friday.
Second, yeah.
The other, of course, was the race, the affirmative action that you mentioned,
yeah,
with the case between University of North Carolina and Harvard,
right,
where they said, hey, you cannot make accessions or select people based on race-based accessions, because it basically, you know, was discriminating against whites and Asians. There's another one that came out today, Friday, I should say, and that was on the website designer in Colorado that was forced under Colorado law to create websites for gay couples. And they said, hey, that's against my Christian values. And the court sided with the actual graphic artist, the website designer, and said, no, you may choose who you support, you know, who you provide services to. And the Colorado law is basically unconstitutional.
Right.
So the left is going nuts right now.
Yeah, I'll bet they are.
Decisions.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's interesting, the interesting part about it is actually read the dissenting, the left wing, if you will, the democratically appointed justices' comments. There's actually almost no legal foundation in their arguments. These are free speech arguments.
Yeah.
And of course, accepting the turning aside these race-based equity assignments for different things, that's going to set precedent, and the left's very upset about it. And
I think it's not only going to set precedent, but I think, Jimmy, I think that ever since we've gotten a Republican Speaker of the House, I think the major divisions between liberals and conservatives is now going to become very, very apparent. I think it already has just this past week or so. And I, for the life of me, we live in such a crazy world. I really have no idea how this thing is going to come out. It is illogical in my mind. America is not improving itself by giving things to people that they don't deserve for the same reasons that the whole country has to adhere to. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But it's very, very, with the new Speaker of the House, it's very, very obvious that there are going to be some changes up for at least votes. Don't you agree with that?
Well, I think so. I think the Speaker, the Republican Speaker, there's going to be some issues that come forward. Now, I don't know how Republicans are going to support, because they're already trying to negotiate with the student loan deal. Now, they proposed a bill not long ago, and of course that was turned down, to meet the president's requirement to give away the student loans. But you're right, it's giveaways. These are direct giveaways, and of course that inspires some voters. But it also, the activists are going to use this in the campaign for 2024. There's no question about it.
Well, sure.
And of
they
course,
will.
The race-based accessions into the universities and those quotas, that's going to be significantly a huge target. We know that. We know Roe v. Wade's going to be a target. And it's interesting. And this is what I think is really interesting to look at. You see this, and of course, this, you know, the choice of the cake or the web designer in order to choose who they want to support based on their values. They're going to attack these efforts. But earlier in the week and the end of last week, they actually, the Supreme Court made a couple of decisions that were against Republicans. One of those decisions, well, one of them was actually the, I believe, 17 state attempt to decide about their electors and how they run the election systems. And basically that they're being disenfranchised. And the Supreme Court ruled that they did not have standing. So they threw that. It was a Texas-led effort, I believe. And, of course, that the Democrats said, hey, this is saving democracy. The other one was a redistricting plan in North Carolina. And the Supreme Court threw that out early in the week. And Democrats were ecstatic about that. Said, oh, we're saving democracy once again.
Yeah.
And it may create an additional Democratic district in North Carolina when they go for a redraw. We'll see how this works out.
Yeah.
But think about this. They're attacking the Supreme Court today, but 3 days ago they said they're saving democracy.
Yeah.
So how inconsistent is that? And again, when you look at the justices that wrote the dissenting agreements on the key ones that conservatives like, the student loan debt, the race-based accessions, and of course the web designer, you see very little legal strategy. It's almost embarrassing from a perspective. And I'm a layman, but I also understand this, and I'm actually really surprised that they would publish statements like that. And their clerks clearly are on a progressive agenda to help them write those types of arguments.
So how do you think it's going to turn out, Jimmy?
Well, I think what you're going to see in the campaign of 2024 is, you know, the Supreme Court's going to be a huge issue.
Yeah.
And I think what I believe is going to happen is that there's more people beginning to realize, again, these Supreme Court justices were appointed by the Trump administration, or at least the three latest.
Yeah.
Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah.
And how important having Supreme Court leadership to protect the Constitution, I think a lot more people are beginning to understand. And we see the arguments to undermine free speech when you see the left attacking the court itself. It's a separate but equal branch of government.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be happening from the executive office.
No.
And that's happening with Biden. So will it work? It's probably going to mobilize the activists on the left. At the same time, people on the right are saying, or even in the middle, and that's the group that you have to really capture, they're going, wow, why are we destroying ourselves like this? And I think you combine that with many other things that are happening in America right now.
Yeah.
We're probably seeing a very different change in perspective and a possibility that you're going to have Biden not make it through 2024 election, or
right.
at least come out
right.
as victorious on the other end.
Well, I think we've got some interesting times ahead of us. I think what we need to do here is, in respect to our radio audience, I think that you and I need to focus not necessarily on opinion, because that really is almost irrational, but I think you and I need to focus on the facts. And I am really, really going in that direction right now. Facts are facts. Opinions are opinions, and it's just as simple as that. Jimmy, I want to wrap up this discussion here, not right now, but in the next segment. So you guys, we're going to be back here and just after the commercial. Stick around. We're looking forward to continuing this discussion.
your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. In this section, we're going to talk a little bit about taking action as the most important thing that we can do. All of our listeners, I think, would agree with that. Taking action is incredibly important. Taking action nonviolently, though, is the only way that I think it's going to work. Jimmy, how would you recommend that voters take action in this situation?
Well, the first thing is they have to get educated on the issues around them. They have to realize what's happening. And it's difficult in a world that the media is controlled and their censorship efforts across the board. And of course, when you have a White House and a government that's involved in that censorship process and continually providing propaganda, it's a little bit challenging for people to know. But once they're informed, once they're informed, then they can get active. And at the lowest levels, you know, at the school board level, at your local city council, your county council, getting involved, putting pressure on the leadership to say, you know, we're not going to put up with the things that are happening right now. We're going to not put up with the tax issues, with these, you know, the things that we're talking about in the schools, with these books and just disgusting propaganda that's coming out. It's incredibly important to be able to spread the word in at a community level in order for people to understand, because the national media and the corrupt system isn't going to do anything for you. The problem is we still face a really big challenge with a segment of the population that doesn't actually look at facts rationally. They make decisions based on the last thing they hear.
I think they make decisions, of course, on the last thing that they hear, but they also make decisions as a result of their emotions. There's a lot of anger out there, Jimmy, and anger is the worst thing for a free election system, in my opinion.
Well, and, you know, we've been talking about the destruction of trust and faith in our institutions for a long time. You know, it's difficult to trust our election processes because, again, the media and the administration and law enforcement even have been silencing people that are questioning what's happening out there.
Right.
But you have this pressure, as we talked about in the first segment, on the Supreme Court, coming from the progressives and the left. But at the same time, the arguments that even the Supreme Court justices that opposed the rulings that the conservatives majority came out with, they're actually undermining their own position in the ruling, in their dissent. So here's how I can explain that is they're saying, hey, this is wrong, but then within their own dissent arguments, they're saying, yeah, but it's right. So it's kind of crazy when you read the specifics on what Sotomayor's arguments were against the against the ruling that supported the free speech rights of the, I mean, it was really about a free speech issue with the web designer in Colorado.
Yeah.
Take a look at it. I recommend that people take a look at it, and you're going to wonder, how the heck did these people get on the Supreme Court? And who are their staffers, you know, the clerks that actually write these dissents? They are not the most professional. They are not the best leaders out there. And that probably has a lot to do with how they're selected, and they've been selected in that system of let's do it based on race and not based on merit.
Yeah.
I really applaud Kim Scott. He came out on these rulings today. I listened to him live on the radio this morning, and he said, hey, look, this, especially the racial quota issue with the university selection process, he said, this is actually a time when we need to start recognizing people for their merit and stop looking at each other based on our color. And I think that's very powerful statement from a black senator from the South, where people think that racist is everywhere.
I've been thinking a lot about that this morning, and I try to justify how, you know, the fact that people want to change the entrance requirements based on color or based on environment. And I just couldn't rationalize it, Jimmy. I could not do it.
Yeah, it's really hard to see, you know, what's happening. But what I do think is happening, and you're talking about taking action, people are actually getting involved and they're understanding what's going on. And, you know, there's a couple of great articles. There's one in the American Spectre talking about Donald Trump's poll numbers going up, though he's being attacked by the Department of Justice, which is exactly the opposite of what the Democratic Party and the DOJ thought was going to happen. They're trying to push him out. But actually, he's going up as he gets these attacks, which means down deep that Americans are beginning to see it and they're trying to say, hey, we want justice. And they're supporting not just the man, but they're supporting a change in the system. And you combine that with, you know, taking action at the local level, like you saw in Virginia in the last elections. These are important moments in American history. And I think I tend to think that we're moving, thankfully, maybe slowly in the right direction, in spite of all the problems that we're facing.
I think it's a very slow movement, in my opinion, because there's so much bickering going on right now. I think both sides are strong enough that neither one is going to bend to the other side. So I think it's going to take a while, and that makes me very sad.
There's three sides to all these issues, Al.
Okay.
There's the Democrat side, there's the Republican side, or you could say the liberal, the conservative, but then there's those people in the middle that
and
that's who you've got to sway. That's who has to feel the pain enough to change.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting. We're going to talk in the next two segments with Wayne Allen Root. Wayne Allen Root is he's a well-known conservative voice on OAN, on a number of websites and some shows, some radio shows. And he's got some interesting perspectives on exactly what's happening. But I think it's worth listening to, but really talking about the polls and the changes, and really, even in this, there's an unbelievable information out on Ron DeSantis where voters under 45 actually support Trump by a 50-point margin over Ron DeSantis. That's crazy. You would think it would be completely the opposite since Ron DeSantis is only 44 years old. But you're seeing young people that are getting involved and saying, you know what, I want to find justice, I want to see justice, and I want to support a change in Washington from someone from the outside, even though he did sit in 4 years and had some weaknesses and some failures.
Right.
But you're seeing a very big change right now in America.
Well, as I said, I hope the time frame is shorter than I'm guessing it's going to be, but we are going to see some major changes in America thanks to the new Speaker of the House. Conservatives, at least at this point in time, are a voice to be reckoned with. In the past, I think one could say they probably were not, but now they very definitely are. Jimmy, we got to take a break here. Time for the top of the hour news. But then we're going to be right back and we're going to be chatting with Wayne Allen.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.